Campus FM presents a talk entitled Grinding Judas Bones, Ratchets and Clappers of Holy Week. This talk is delivered by Anna Borch Cardona.
Today's speaker is Anna Borch Cardona, who really needs no introduction. She, as you all know, she has researched and published extensively the history of music in Malta. And today will be speaking to us about Tshuqlajti, a particular instrument or noisemaker. I don't know what you would call it. Still an instrument, which is used specifically in Holy Week. So over to you, Anna.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to be talking about the Tshuqlajti of Holy Week. As you know, Holy Week has several rituals associated with it. It is getting more and more, I think, becoming more popular in the sense, just as, for example, Jeremy Bossevan thought that the festa would decrease, it has not. And the same thing has happened with processions, for example, and everything else associated with Holy Week. Now, I'm just going to take a tiny bit of this Holy Week, which is the Tshuqlajti, which are played, the wooden instruments. This is a photograph of a Good Friday procession in Valletta. So we'll be talking about clappers and ratchets, because those are the instruments associated with this period. Now, in Maltese, we call them Tshuqlajta in the singular, Tshuqlajti, plural. Now, there are variants. You get Tshuqlajta and Tshuqlajta and probably several others as well. But they are all clappers and ratchets. Sometimes you will hear them called rattles, which they are not. And they're used inside the church. They're used up in the belfry. And they were used by children out in the streets as well during the period of Holy Week. Now, to describe what a clapper actually is, it's two or more pieces of a material. It can be anything. It can be stone, it can be wood, it can be bone or ivory, or even metal, which are clapped against each other, hit against each other. Now, to quote James Blades, who is one of the authorities on percussion instruments, the most important functions of early percussion instruments were to assist the dance and to serve primitive magic and ritual. They were symbolic and possessed the power of magic. Now, if we move to ancient Egypt, we see they were already using clappers here, and probably even earlier, but these are preserved beautifully. On the left, we have wooden ones, and on the right, ivory and bone. They were in the shape of hands and arms, so, you know, they're really very special, I think, and the ancestors of our castanets. They would be joined together and clapped, just like hands would be clapping. They were played during dance. They could be any form of dance. It could be ritual dance, but it could be even just for enjoyment. And also, they were used to drive away hostile forces, which is an important thing to remember. They even were played to help the deceased through their voyage in the underworld. Now, if we move on to Greek mythology, again, we find clappers having magical properties. One of the 12 labors of Hercules was actually to chase away a huge flock of birds. And Hercules couldn't find a way to do this, and he was quite perplexed about it, didn't know how to go about it. The flock was too large. Goddess Athena stepped in and provided him with a magical pair of clappers. In this case, they were bronze, but magical pair of clappers. You're seeing the kind of clappers that were used during the Greek period. And on the right is Hercules, actually, after he's used the clappers, the magical clappers, he's managing now to shoot down the birds with his bow and arrow. The cult of Dionysius. Again, we find that clappers were very important for the cult of Dionysius. Wooden clappers and metal clappers. And they were all used in the processions, for example. And there we've got a procession on a sarcophagus. And on the right, on on a vase, you can see again the Dionysiac cult. So this is used within a religion. Again, this is clappers being used in a funeral dance around a tomb. Here they are purifying the area and helping the deceased again in his voyage. Bardo Museum, another lovely little dancer with clappers again. You always see these usually dwarf dancers with clappers. And that's from the 2nd century BC. We're into the Roman period now. And we're into the Roman period in Malta. Now, in our Roman Domus, we have a lovely, tiny clapper made of bone, which is the one on top there, both of them actually. And you can see that it's a central, longish piece of wood with a handle. And on top of it, you've got a little flap, which is attached, right, with gut or string or whatever it was at the time, leather. I think it is missing the bottom part, because you can see a tiny ledge in the bottom photograph. You can see a tiny ledge where another flap would have gone in. So you've got a central handle and two flaps, one on either side, and you would clap it. Okay, it's very tiny. They call it a rattle. I think it should not be called a rattle, because a rattle is actually a container in which there are beads or seeds or even bits of terracotta. That would be called a rattle. This is a clapper. It could have been a child's toy because it was very small. It could also have been used in religious ritual. We don't know. That's from the 1st century BC. Most ritual instruments from Greek and Roman times just simply passed on into Christianity. This is something which happened because the cults were going on at the same time and Christianity came in. So all that happened was that the same things went on happening, but they were given another significance. And within Christianity, we find wooden clappers and scrapers being used during Holy Week, wooden clappers and scrapers as well. Scrapers, ratchets would be scrapers. I'll come into them as well. Instead of bells. Now, if we stop and think about bells, even they are exorcistic, or they were. They're not only there to call the faithful to prayer or to the mass or to. They also had this, obviously we forget it, but it was there. And there is one bell, which is an excellent example, which was hung in the Cittadella in Gozo. It has now been taken down only a few years ago. It's a 17th century bell, and on it, it says, Demones expello, I expel demons. And bells were thought of in this way, so that is a very special bell, I think. And it also protected against storms, tempests. It says so as well. I expel demons, and I protect against storms. The wooden instruments have taken the place of these bells, and they have very much the same function. But within the Christian religion, they come to mean different things. So these wooden clappers signify the cross of Christ, because they are made of wood, right? So it's the cross of Christ, and I've asked various people what they think. Very often, the sacristan in each church got this question from me. The suffering of Christ, because of the sound that they make, which is very morbid, sounds somber. The approach of the Roman soldiers, the approaching soldiers coming to get Christ. The earthquake after Christ's death. And also grinding Judas Iscariot's bones. And that has a sort of penitence about it for the sins committed by Judas. You grind his bones in order to as penitence. If we start from Tenebrae Wednesday, which is the day before Maundy Thursday, there we have a mourning witch ritual in which several psalms are read, and there is a large candelabrum put up with 15 candles. It's a triangular candelabrum. In English it's called a hearse, and in Maltese we call it the barabba. With every psalm reading, a candle is snuffed out on either side. till they get to the last candle. And the readings are going on, and it's all about Christ's death. So this is really the morning. The last one is representing Christ. The last candle is put out. The whole church is in entire darkness, or it used to be before Vatican Council II. It was much more pronounced then. It was hermetically sealed. No light came into the church. So this was total darkness once that light went out, the light of Christ. Right? Once that went out, they started the clapping of wood. The priests themselves would start beating against the choir, and the congregation would start also clapping their instruments. Children took their instruments on that occasion to church, and they actually used them in there. And we'll be seeing what kind of instruments they were. Now, this is one of the readings that they would have heard. Matthew, Jesus again crying out in a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. And suddenly the earth quaked. The rocks were split. The tombs opened, and the bodies of many holy people rose from the dead. And they were terrified and said, in truth, this man was Son of God. You can imagine this being read and that total darkness after it. It actually incites fear within the people. So you can see that we are keeping the same meaning, properties, if you like, of the instruments played on that occasion. Now, when is it used? So on Wednesday, after that psalm reading, then we come to Monday, Thursday. This is the... I took this time of use from the Birkirkara parish, which kept exact times when it should be used and when it should not. Monday, Thursday, inside the church, during elevation and sanctus of the evening mass. So instead of the little bell, ting, 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 they had the clapper, the wooden clapper, a small wooden clapper inside the church. After the mass, which is at about 7:30 in the evening, they placed the sacrament into what we call the sepulchre. It's what you visit on the seven visits, right? The sacrament is put inside the sepulchre. And when they do that, they're also using, instead of a bell, they use a wooden clapper. Then inside, up in the belfry, from 8 to 8:15, about a quarter of an hour, they will be playing the clapper up on the roof, which is much larger. We'll be coming in to see what kind they were. Then we move on to Good Friday. Early in the morning, for the priests to gather, for a quarter of an hour, they play the clapper in the belfry. Then, 8 o'clock, for about 10 minutes, quarter of an hour, to show that the church is open for visits, for people to come and visit the sepulchres. Again, from 12 to 12:15, to say, time is up, the church is closing. Then, in the belfry, 2:45 to 3, to call the faithful to the 3 o'clock function. Again, no bells. Now, the bells, the legend is that the bells have flown to Rome in order to be blessed. That is the legend. And they're replaced instead by these instruments. Then we come to Holy Saturday, which is the last time it is used. And in the belfry, between 8:15, 8:30 in the evening, it calls the faithful to Mass, to the final Mass of the resurrection. That's it. In the Gloria, the bells are back with a vengeance. The clappers, which are used inside the church. This is one of the clappers that we use. There are several. And if you notice, it is exactly like the Roman clapper. So we're using exactly the same one. They are three pieces of wood. The central one has a long handle and two flaps on either side, and they're tied together with string or whatever. So this is from Sannat Gozo. Several other churches have the same one. These are a few of them. Gudia on top. Ormi, a bit larger than the others, but the same. Im Abba, Dingli. Now, Palazzo Falson has a very similar one, which I quite honestly find quite perplexing. I haven't worked out what this is all about. I'm not sure that it is actually a Holy Week clapper, but you've got a cross on it, a red cross, which is the Scandinavian cross of St. George. And the Gaulishers were Scandinavian, so, you know, there might be a connection there. I don't know. It is also a Masonic cross. I don't know if there's any connection there. Huh? It was a Freemason. So I don't know whether this... Because then on the other side, the reverse side of it, or whichever, I don't know which one is the reverse, but anyway, you've got Maria Vergine, what seems to be Maria Vergine, with a crown of thorns on top, right? And CDP, I also don't know yet what those stand for. Perhaps we'll find out. But so far, I don't know. You might have some suggestions. Now, in Sardinia, the same sort of clapper, and even in parts of Italy, is called a crotalo, which is the word coming from the Greek. And the church adopted, actually, this word crotalo. Sicily, it's called chioc. Giuseppe Pitre mentions that it's called chioc. The same clapper. The same kind of instrument was also used by lepers to announce that they are, so people keep away from them. It's exactly the same kind of clapper. Now, that means we're going on to something else. This is a photo I had taken in Valletta, blurred, with, and the wristwatch is coming out. So we move on to another type of clapper. This time you've got, again, an instrument made of wood, and you've got a flap on either side. And they are connected, they are joined up with a pivot. You rotate it, and you produce, right? And you, okay? There are flaps on a pivot. This is a reconstruction of one. We've got here. You can have a look at them after. The one here is from Imdina. I put the date, I took the photos, just so it's always there. We know exactly when it was taken. This is probably, now here I have to thank Joe Gaglianaudi for spending hours with me looking at these photographs and trying to date these. Now, obviously, if he had the instruments in front of him, we could be more precise. But this is through the photographs. Thank you. Yeah. He thinks this is an 18th century or possibly even earlier Choleita, and that is from the Imdina Cathedral. More of them, Sigiri, 18th century. San Franciscan Rabat Gozo, which is a much later one, 20th century. St. Paul's in Rabat, a very nice one actually, 19th century possibly. And one from Arp Gozo, also possibly 19th century. You see the same thing. So we've got them in Malta and in Gozo. And very similarly done. They're completely made of wood. The pivots are placed in there. You don't need any metal, actually. They might have some nails. And even the nails might be wooden, right? You told me it's possible that they are even wooden nails. So we're keeping to the completely wooden instrument. Now, this is one from Calabria. Just to show you that, you know, it's very, very similar to what we've got. This is in the Museo Nazionale delle Arti and Tradizioni Popolari in Rome. Very similar. Similar dimensions. It's a bit cruder, actually, than ours. Another type. Now, this time we have wood and metal. This one is from Hazebuch and may possibly be 18th century. So you've got just a plank of wood, you've got a space for a hand, to put your hand through, and on it a metal handle. And you could have it either on one side or on both sides, one on either side. And sometimes even more, you could have even more on the same side, more than one. This is a lovely one actually, probably 18th century. More of them, lots of them. Valletta is all this type. These are inside the church. On the left, we've got St. Paul shipwreck, wood with the handle you can see there. It's quite an old one, probably 18th century. In St. John's Cathedral, we've got a late 18th or 19th century Choleita. And Tal Carmno, also 19th century, but the same sort of thing. Just a plank with either a wooden handle, which would have been made probably by the local forger, or the last two also have a plate of metal as well. So the metal is hitting against the metal, actually. This is, there's one like it. Okay, rotate, and it's, okay. You can see these after. Leah has a very old one, maybe 17th century. And Baltzan has a very strange-looking one. Very large handle, with the funny shape in the end, which may be 18th, 19th century. Now, this one is from Italy, Trentino Alto Adige. Exactly the same thing, same sort of dimensions. We have very similar traditions. They are also using them during Holy Week. Filippo Bonanni, he was a Jesuit. And he published this lovely book, which is priceless, with engravings of instruments. And it wasn't only instruments of art music, but also popular instruments. So to me, it is priceless. And we're here in 1722. That's when he published his first edition, and there were several editions after that. Here in the engraving, you can see one exactly like this. But he complained about it, and he said, era usanza introdotta contro ragione. Dovrebbe essere tutto di legno. It should have been made of wood. It shouldn't be made of metal and wood. So he objected to the metal. Now, this Padre Bonanni was actually curator of the museum that Athanasius Kircher had built up. And he's actually taking care of the instruments, and he published this beautiful Gabinetto Armonico. Procession in Rabat, keep us in the same. And we have a band playing Marcia Funebre outside. And we come to the belfry clappers. These are all clappers. We come to the belfry ones. Now, in the belfry, you're going to have larger instruments which can be heard around the village. The one on the right, which is Nashar, you can just about see the points of the lighter underneath the bell. Or perhaps you can't, but it's there. Now, what do they look like? They are actually a cross made of wood, and it's hollow inside. In between, at each angle, there are hammers or pieces of wood. And when you rotate through the center, you rotate the instrument. When it's rotated, these hammers are clapping against so they make a huge clatter. So what you're hearing in some of the churches where they are still used is that. Hammers, I found different ones. Sometimes they have two hammers, sometimes three. And they can be any shape of those on the right. And they can also be different lengths in order to produce a slightly different rhythm, which is quite interesting. This is the clapper in Gudia on the left. And you can see how it is supported on wooden supports, rotated from the center, and you've got your hammers there. And that is a close-up that you can see. You can actually see how the hammers are attached into the angle. And they've got support so that when they hit against the wooden cross, there's also a bit of support there. Because these instruments are very often left out in the belfries, and they tend to deteriorate quite a lot. So I've seen very sad states where hammers are on the floor and bits and pieces. Some churches take care of them, some haven't bothered. And we don't know how old they are. Nobody seems to remember when they were made. They're not usually dated. I found only one with a date, and it's the 1930s, and it might be a date when they were repaired rather than made. So we don't know. Anyway, so many parts are repaired that in the end you don't have anything of the original. This is the Imdina Cathedral. There it is as well. You can see how it's rotated, and you can see how the hammers are attached. So these are open to the elements, as you can see. Now, this is Ormi. Here you can see three guys, I think, up there pulling away at the ropes. And the chutleiter is actually up top there. You can't see it. It's up top. And that is a photo of it from inside. So you can see it's got three hammers. And you can see the width. It is about 6 feet, just under 6 feet, I think, the whole thing. I couldn't measure it exactly, but it's about that much, about 6 feet long. Here we can actually hear. That is being pulled manually, okay? It's quite a good job they're doing. And it's not easy to keep it going, to keep the rhythm going. Okay. Hazebuch. Again, you can see, now here, I think, is one of the few places, and they told me it's intentional. They have different lengths of hammers in order to produce this different rhythm. Now it has been mechanized, or I'm not sure whether it's electricity, but it's not turned manually anymore. And there are a few of these lights which are not. Zaytun, for example, you put on a switch. So nobody's going up there and it's kept going. I think the Ormi one, what are they doing now in Ormi? Are they still? They're still by hand. Good. I much prefer it by hand. Hallu'a, you see another one, very similar. They're all very similar, cross-shaped, pulled by ropes, and the hammers. There's another one which is just sticks in Gargur. Now, in this case, I think I know when that was built. Again, it was 1932, I think, the beginning of the 1930s, the only one. And Zaytun is the one which you just switch on, so listen to this. Wait, let's hear the Gargur first. Okay, and listen to Zaytun. Going faster than normal, than you would do it manually. And we come back to Bonanni. He shows an instrument which is, the principle is the same. He's rotating a circular wheel. In between there are hammers, so these hammers are striking against the wood. In principle, it's the same, but different to ours. And he says it was played nelle cima delle campanili, so this is the kind that you've got up in the belfry. He says, di cui conferenza è armata di martelli di legno. They're wooden hammers. And they were played by the chierici, he says. Sonati dagli chierici con abito clericale. Very important that they were wearing the cleric's clothes. Not just anybody, in other words, could play these. So that's an interesting point. When we were in Compostela, in Santiago de Compostela, I was told they have a ratchet. I asked, obviously. I'm always asking wherever I go. And I was told they have one up there in the Campanile. Now, this is the north of Spain. And so my husband and I trudged up to this, and pretty high up in this campanile. We got permission, by the way. It was very special permission from the Monsignors and a lot of... But we got there. And this is from the other side. I could see a cross. So I got very excited about it. I said, at last, there's a cross like ours. But when we got there, this is it, the cross. The cross is the same shape. It's huge. It's about 10 feet. And I mean, Santiago de Compostela Cathedral, anyone who's been there, is enormous. So this is a huge contraption. But it functions completely differently. It is not a clapper. So that surprised me. It actually functions as a ratchet. Now, what happens is, in the center, we've got a cog. If you look on the right, on the center, there's a cog, which is turned, I suppose, manually. And each side of the cross, instead of having hammers, has a flap which hits against that central cog. So it's like those twirled ratchets that you all know, the hand-twirled ratchets. But it's a huge cross, and every side of the cross has a flap which is hitting against that cog in the center. So it's a totally different instrument, musically. I mean, in Malta, everything is lighter, whatever. In Italy, they have different names for them. And I found a similar one. It's not a very good photograph, but you can see the principle is exactly the same. This is what they use in the processions, much smaller, about this big. It's carried in the processions. And it's this was in the Museo de Povo Galego, in Compostela, Santiago de Compostela. It's the Galician instrument used in the processions. Sorry, that is a bit misplaced. We're moving on to something else. So now we come to our ratchets and scrapers. That was a ratchet, in fact. Now, a ratchet is actually a scraper because the instrument functions by scraping against something else, all right? It's just a ratchet. A ratchet actually has the cog wheel in the middle attached to a handle. And then you've got this rigid stick which scrapes against it while it's twirled. So these we all know. And these were actually used in the church as well. But what happened was that when they became associated so much with football, they were all put away. So nobody uses them. They're not used anywhere. They were all put away. But Dingley still has it there, at least. The others actually, they're not even in the church anymore. But I know Dingley has it, unfortunately. It's a pity. Lua had it, Halasha had it. They're gone. But this is the Dingley one, hopefully still there, because I took these. I mean, this was over quite a number of years that I was taking these photographs. The same instrument was also used for gas alert in World War II. And apparently the ones which were used for this have a metal frame around one side of them. And they're recognized from that. This is probably one of them. It's in my collection. And we never needed to use it, but they were used for drills. Anyway, they were used for practice drills. Now, this is also a ratchet, but it's within a sound box. What you have here is a cylinder in the center attached to a handle, and the cylinder has teeth protruding. Inside are rigid sticks, so when you rotate, you are hitting the rigid sticks against the teeth, and they're going clack, 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 clack. That is from Nashar, I think a lovely one. This is Bikirkar, exactly the same, but you can't see the inside. It's functioning in exactly the same way. This is a lovely sketch belonging to Albert Ganado, part of his collection. Beautiful. We actually have a young man here rotating. It's hung around his neck, as you can see. I think provisionally hung around his neck, it seems. And he's rotating lighter of the type that we were just seeing. Now he seems to be on a rooftop somewhere with the steeple of St. Paul's in the back on the left, perhaps Tal Karmnu further on. So we're somewhere in that area in Valletta. Can't make out exactly where, but close. And on it he actually says, "Grinding Judas Iscariot's bones on Good Friday, Malta, 1867. Lieutenant F.B. Russell." That is a very interesting one. This is another ratchet, larger this time, because it's used on a rooftop in Nadur. It's about 2'8" high, and it has handles on either side, which is interesting, so it makes it more regular. So you've got two people actually turning this, so they can keep it going, because it's quite an effort, especially if we keeping it going for a quarter of an hour or more. It's quite an effort. Ala has a very similar one, but obviously shaped to suit its own purposes, to sit on the wall. The same thing. You can see the central cog there with the two teeth and rigid sticks. The same one again in the Franciscans in Rabat. I think they've lost the handle here, but it's the same principle, you can see. And we come to Bonanni again. He shows something very similar. So we know that in the 18th century, these were being used for Holy Week. Now, this is one that I picked up. I was told it was used in a church. When I picked it up, they were very keen to use it for football. So the supporters were taking it with them on their truck and using it for their football, the fans anyway, were using it for their own football purposes. It's got two cogwheels, and it may have been used for something else before, even though it did apparently come from a church. I think it might have been either a corn grinder or something like that, possibly. I don't know. Anyway, it's got a double cog, and it makes quite a sound, which is, it serves the purpose as well. This is a larger form of ratchet, but it's more than a ratchet here now. This is Birkirkara, and we have a similar thing in Balsan, and apparently had a similar thing in Lia. When I went, the Lia one was no longer in use, and I couldn't see it. Couldn't find it. They couldn't find it. Couldn't see it. Now there's something that's functioning again, so that's a good sign. I haven't been to see it yet. I hope it is the same one, because that will be interesting. We've got the three villages, Birkirkara, Lia, and Balsan, with the same sort of, which is nowhere else, the same sort of ratchet, which is in it's like a little confessional, converted confessional, I imagine. It's got a sound hole there, and it's got a handle which you can turn around. Now, what is happening inside is the same thing as the ratchets, but the rigid sticks are in the shape of a hammer, and they're hitting also against the side of the instrument. So you've got something else. You've got hammers as well. Now we can hear this manually, and quite an effort, as you can see, these boys are. And they take it in turns. Gained momentum here. But then when they get tired, you notice. Now, instruments used by children. Children normally use what the grown-ups are using. They're always a replica. And what happens is they tend to go on, instruments tend to go on being used by children when their original purposes have been lost. So it's always interesting to see what children's toys are. Now, children use them inside and outside the church. Again, we find the simple clappers because they were easy to make. So a lot of people had these. A lot of children had them. I've been told by people who actually used to take these on Wednesday, the function on Wednesdays, and use them. The parents actually gave them, and they went to church with this. I know people who actually use them. This type was also used, but obviously there's a bit more effort to make that. And when they didn't have the money to make it, or nobody could make it for them or whatever, they actually made a cane substitute made out of asap, which is very interesting, very easily made. You've got a cotton reel. You chop off the edge of it. It's very soft wood, so you can easily carve the teeth into it. Then you cut up, slice a section out of a rod of arundodonax, the asap, and you slip in a piece of wood and rotate it. Right? It's the same thing as the hand-twirled wooden ratchet, but it's the same. Now, interestingly, I only found this in Gozo. Nobody seems to remember it in Malta. If you know of anybody, I'd like to know. But it is. Known in Gozo in various places. Another interesting thing is that in Buscemi, this particular type, which they have as well, Buscemi in Sicily, which is this godforsaken place that we went to. You must go there by car, otherwise you're stranded. Anyway, we went there and we were stranded. And we went by bus, unfortunately. Now, they call that truccola, but it was pronounced chuccola, chuccola. So there I found a similarity. It's their pronunciation, the Sicilian dialect. So even though it's written, they pronounce it chuccola, which is similar to our chuck, lighter, at least part of it. So our chuck lighter, we get chuck lighter in Imjar, we get chuck lighter in Gozo, Chioc in Sicily, Chuccola in Buscemi, in probably other parts of Sicily as well, but that is where I heard it. And for us, they are all Chuclaita, the whole lot. For the Italians, no, they have different names, tabella, crotola, raganella for the ratchet. They have different names. For us, there's just one name. In other words, our name, ciulaita, is just connected to the function of the instrument, and that's it. One example which is interesting, Professor Whittinger published an article, Priests in Court. And one priest was, Don Jacopo, was being teased by children. And this is what he says, 1527, so it takes us back a bit. The court proceedings are there, all with all the details, and one bit says, the young cleric Brandon Casciaro said that sometimes he had seen children playing the cicaicle. I'm not even sure whether it's pronounced cicaicle or cicaicle. But if it's cicaicle, it would be similar to our ciulaita. And making much noise to tease Don Jacopo. So this cicaicle, which made much noise, was used just to ridicule the priest. Is it the ciulaita? I don't know. Can't seem to find any references earlier than this. This is, seems similar. It might have been. It makes a lot of noise. And it's possible that that's what they were using to tease him. 18th century, we find De Soldanis in his dictionary mentions the ciulaita, and it's obviously been here a long time. He says, ciulaita, strumento di suono strepitoso, a loud instrument, che si suona la settimana santa invece delle campane, which is played in Holy Week instead of bells. Now, one very interesting thing turns up in 1787 in Zebuch, in the registers, and Dulsalf Caruana had found this, and I think it's very interesting. He finds that probably there are more of these. We just have to look into them. In the register of bills paid out, 1781-1818, it says, Tari quattro a maestro Antonio Zammit per aver accordato la cioccolaita. If it is what... So this is 18th century, and those are the cioccolaiti that they have now. Right, they have the inside one, which is very possibly an 18th century one, and the other larger one. Now, accordato, Dunsalf certainly thinks that it is repaired, not made, but repaired. So we know that they've had it sometime and they've had to repair it. Which one? We don't know. And we don't. In fact, the ones in the belfry are the ones we know least about so far. But time might give us some more information. Now, and just to finish off, an anonymous diary of 1839. This was actually attributed by Michael Gallia to Miss Eliza Wilbraham. And she says, the noise both in the churches and in the streets is enough to deafen any person. This was probably in Valletta. Surely in Valletta. It is affected by means of rattles. You see, people always call them rattles. They still call them rattles, all right? But in fact, they are not. Means of rattles, and this is supposed to be commemorative of the sins of Judas. Here it is again. By cracking his bones. Okay? And in Valletta, what we do know, at that time, they're using that type, the metal and wood type. And we know, for example, you know, that sort of ratchet, which the young man is playing, that is probably Valletta. So this is the type that we know of. I don't know if there were any larger ones. St. John's apparently did have some larger one. Yes. And was it a cross shape? We don't know, do we? We don't know. That's sad. Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Perfect example of how you combine oral history, archival research, and actual observation of the objects themselves. It's a wonderful case study on ciulaiti. Prosit, we'd like to present you with a subscription to Treasures of Malta for your year and some complimentary tickets to the museum. Thank you very much. I'm sure you'll all join me in thanking Anna once again.
You have just listened to a talk entitled Grinding Judah's Bones, Ratchets and Clappers of Holy Week. This talk was delivered by Anna Borch Cardona.